Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. And this is Fulfilling End Time Prophecies, number 2. And this morning we came to Daniel, the 11th chapter. So let's go ahead and turn there and do just a little review so that we can see what is going to happen and how it's going to happen and the things that will take place. And let's understand that while part of the world will be at war, another part of the world won't be at war. And then we're going to see the connection between the prophecies of fulfilling for the 200 million man army, United States, Western Europe, China, and Afghanistan. And I think you're going to be absolutely amazed. Now here, Daniel 11, verse 40. And also on this one, as I mentioned, I'm going to include the 14 things that have yet to happen in prophecy. And all of them have, let's put it this way, a lot of them have not been fulfilled. Some of them are in the process of being fulfilled. And not one has been completely fulfilled. So you're not going to rush the timetable of God, as we saw. Because Jesus said, that's in the authority and power of God the Father. Then God gave to Jesus all the things of the end time, and Jesus gave the revelation to John, and John wrote it down, so we have the book of Revelation. And also, if you don't have the series Daniel and Revelation, be sure and get it, write for it, email it, call the office, because it's very important for you to understand that Daniel is the first half of many of the prophecies, and Revelation is the second half, and you have to put it together. As well as when Jesus said, when you see all these things. Now, a lot of people think that it is, just the things listed in Matthew 24. But he references different things, such as the book of Daniel. So everything then in the book of Daniel has got to be taken care of. He also referenced that there's going to be a time of tribulation such as not has been since the beginning of the world. So then you have to reference all the prophecies concerning the end time things in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the minor prophets, because that is there. Then we have the prophecies of the New Testament that go along with some of these things, and all of those have to match. So when Jesus said, when you see all these things, truly I say to you that this generation, that is when all these things you see, if you don't see them all, you're not in that generation. So we need to be thinking of another generation besides us. Because what we're going to cover today will show you, as I covered and finished off up north, that Europe has such a long way to go before it becomes a world power again. It is weak, nearly financially broke. They're all divided in what they think and what they want to do, and now they have to draw a new treaty, as I read. They have to take care of the Islamic problem. That has to be solved. They have to have a rebirth of producing children, because the demographics are they're not reproducing enough to replace the population, so the population is aging, and the inept army of the NATO forces minus the U.S. forces, they're old. They couldn't be any force anywhere doing anything, just like they are in Afghanistan. You know, the Germans are over there, but they can't use weapons. They can train the Afghans, but they're off at 5 o'clock, and at 5:30, they're drinking their big mugs of beer. See? And when you look at the European soldiers, they are fat, they are sloppy, they are weak. And how can they possibly be a force and power behind the King of the North unless something drastically changes? And you have to know, children are not created instantly. And a whole vast new generation is not created in a couple of years. So there are going to be a lot more time, a lot of things have to happen, and so we'll see another major thing today that has to happen, which does involve China and Afghanistan. Now let's look at the King of the South, King of the North. At the end time, the King of the South shall push at him. There's no King of the South. There is nothing in the circumstances that we can see which give us any indication that there's going to be a coming together of the Arabs in such a way that there will be a King of the South. And the president of the EU, if you look him up online, look at a picture of him, he is a weak, namby-pamby, and could never be a dynamic leader. So a lot has to happen. Okay? And the King of the North shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and sweep through. Okay? Fast military assault upon them. Even though that's fast, that will have to be by plane. Some of it will be by ship. And they're going to land in Egypt, come right on up into the Holy Land. And then he goes into the temple of God and says he's God. When that happens, that's when the tribulation begins. Tribulation does not begin till then. And how many false prophets have come along and said, oh, the tribulation is here. Oh, the tribulation will begin in 1993. Well, it was wrong, 1997. Well, it didn't come again. Well, 2002, well, it didn't happen then, so here we are, 2010. And still, nothing has substantively developed much more than the visible decline of Israel as far as the United States as the end time 10 tribes is concerned. That's the major thing that has occurred. But we do not know how long that we will be oppressed by the strangers within us and also by the financial burden that we put on us with the debt. That could go on for years and years. Look at what happened with Germany. From 1918 to 1933, 15 years. So we don't know how long. A lot of us are getting, as Doris likes to say, long in the truth. But I like to say short in the tooth, because you generally lose them. You don't grow them. Okay? Now, so right here shows when the tribulation begins. Now, we'll come back to Revelation 6 here in just a minute. But what we need to do is understand the timing of this. Okay? He shall also enter into the glorious land. Then he'll go sit in the temple. Temple hasn't been built yet. Priesthood hasn't been raised up yet. The Jews have a lot of things ready to go so they can do it. But it's not ready yet. And many countries shall be overthrown. Now, which ones? Which ones will be overthrown? It doesn't say. Does that just mean the countries right near there? Could it be some countries far off someplace as well? See, the prophecies don't tell us all of those things. So we have to give a broader view of how they come along. But these shall escape out of his hand, Edom and Moab. Okay, that's basically Turkey and then the area of Jordan and down through the area of Petra. And the chief of the children of Ammon, he shall stretch his hand out also upon the countries. The land of Egypt shall not escape. So he's going to get into the land of Egypt as well. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Now that he's come to a certain point, let's come back here to Revelation 6. And let's see where the tribulation begins. And remember, that's within a period of 3.5 years. Okay? And remember this. Not all the world will be at war when we're looking at what we just described there with the king of the north coming down against the king of the south. Revelation 6, we'll repeat just a little bit of it, but I want to emphasize a point here. Verse 1, and when I looked, the Lamb opened one of the seals. So Jesus is the one to do it. Now, what we need to understand is that chapter 4 and 5 show us that God the Father and Jesus Christ are involved in kicking off the end time events. Directly involved. Jesus said it was under the Father's authority. The Father gives it to Jesus. Jesus opens the seals. Nothing is going to happen until that takes place. And I heard one of the four living creatures say, like the sound of thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse. And the one who was sitting on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, this is a type of a false Christ. Back here in Revelation 19, and verse 11, this shows the true Christ. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists say that Revelation 6 and 2 is Christ. But it's not, because Christ opened the seal, right? Then the white horse came out, and it wasn't Christ sitting on it. Let's read it here, Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. Didn't say that of the white horse back here in Revelation 6, did it? No, indeed. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knows except him. And he was clothed with a garment dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies in heaven were following him on white horses, and they were clothed in fine linen, pure and white. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he might smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron, or an iron rod rather, and he treads the winepress in fury and wrath of Almighty God. And on his garment and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this description back in Revelation 2, or 6 rather, in verse 2, is entirely different. This has to be the religious beast that looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon, and has two horns of Revelation 13. So this comes first. Some sort of peace, some sort of the religions getting involved, and that's going to take some time yet, isn't it? You think the Muslims are ready to cooperate with other religions even for a little while? No. Dolores read an article where two young girls down in Somalia were hauled out into to the village square, and the Islamists, the terrorists, they made everyone come out and watch their execution, and they killed them because they were Christian, and killed them because they said they were spies. Now, that's not very compromising, wouldn't you say? Oh, someone sent me a memo. Interesting. Little sidebar. How do you stop a mosque being built in your city? You go to the location and you dig into the ground and you bury some dead pigs. New Yorkers, listen up. All right. Now, verse 3 and verse 4 constitute the beginning of the tribulation and ties right in with the king of the north coming against the king of the south. So let's read it, verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." And another horse went out that was red, and power was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth, and to cause them to kill one another, and a great sword was given to him. Now notice what happens when war takes place. And these things come very quickly, especially in today's world. When he opened the third seal, I heard a third living creature say, "Come and see," and I looked, and behold, there was a black horse, and the one sitting on it had a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, "A measure of wheat for a silver coin, and 3 measures of barley for a silver coin, and see that you do not damage the oil and the wine." So now you know what to store up on, so you can make a little money in tough times. It's a little sidebar. Okay. Verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse. And the name of the one sitting on it was Death. And the grave followed him, and authority was given to them over 1/4 of the earth. So when the tribulation begins, it only involves 1/4 of the earth. Okay? Area of Palestine will be part of it. Will the other part of it be America and Canada and Australia? Okay. One thing to note, we see nothing here about any of the kings of the north or the east being involved yet. Okay. So that's important to realize. 1/4 of the earth. To kill with the sword, with famine, with death, and by the beast of the earth. And by the way, they're having a lot of trouble with alligators and pythons in Florida. And also they're having trouble in certain areas of the country with packs of dogs that are attacking and eating people. Hey. Yeah, Dolores read that. That's right. Also mountain lions and bears. And don't forget, rats, bubonic plague. What's going to happen with New York that has a population of more rats than the population of people? And what are you going to do when people throw out their dogs, throw out their cats, throw out their snakes? You know, that's what happened in Florida. Oh, this python is too big for me to handle. It was so cute when it was little. And now it's a 20-foot monster out there ready to attack children. Even go after alligators and get them. All right? Let's go on. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And they cried out with a loud voice. Now this is envisioned to show that those who have been martyred in the past were not martyred in vain, but to show that their reward is yet to come. And that those of us in the end time, if we live to this time, had better be ready to give our lives. How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to each of them, and they were told that they should rest a short time yet. Now, where do they rest? In their graves, right? Yes. Until it be fulfilled that their fellow servants and their brethren also would be killed. Now then, all of this takes up the first year and a half of the 3-year and a half tribulation. Okay? So that means there are 2 full years left. Now right in the middle of it, Christ reveals himself. And then before Christ returns and the resurrection takes place, the greatest wars are going to take place on the earth, as we will see, to the north and to the east, and then finally ending up with Armageddon just north of Jerusalem. So let's go ahead with this. This is going to be startling. No secret rapture here. Then heaven departed like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now, I saw a special of those who live in the islands in the South Pacific. They're people who virtually live in little boats and go from island to island, thousands of them. And I thought, wow, I never knew any of that. Look at those people. You know, when you watch some of these specials, you really come to understand you're ignorant, you're stupid, you don't know very much, so don't get vain about anything, you know. Don't get whatever. Don't pull a Hezekiah and get lifted up in pride and vanity and all of that. As long as Dolores is around, that won't happen. So we're thankful for that. But I mean, for anybody. And I thought, you know, here we are. Here we are in America with everything. At the push of a button, the use of a key or a handheld phone. Now, let's go on here. When the heavens shake, the heavens roll back as a scroll. Now, can you imagine what that is going to be like? That's like, if we can picture it this way, best way I can illustrate it is on a dark, 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 stormy day where the clouds are low and black and it's dark everywhere, all of a sudden, the clouds split in two, and there is the sun. But also this time, the earth is shaking, the mountains are shaking, and everything is going on, see. And the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its untimely figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heavens departed like a scroll, that is being rolled up, and every mountain was moved out of its place, and the islands. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the powerful men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Where are you going to go? With all those earthquakes, are any buildings safe? Yep. Rich men can't buy their way into the biggest cave. Okay. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Who has the power to stand? All right. Then what happens? Chapter 7. 144,000, great innumerable multitude, are spared. Now, if this happens on Pentecost, then there is a time on the earth after this happens and the sealing of the 144,000 and great innumerable multitude on Pentecost, then there is a time where the earth will recover from Pentecost to trumpets, which is about 3.5-4 months. Okay? The people will come out of their caves, they'll start regrouping, they will start gathering up their things and so forth. And then we come to chapter 8. So if the beginning of the trumpet plague start on trumpets, then we have the trumpet plagues. Now, I covered that in the sermon this morning. Now let's come to chapter 9. Let's look at something that's really very important for us to understand, to realize. Because, you see, there are armies involved. And we're going to see the world's largest army ever of 200 million is going to come from the east. Now, when we get to it, we'll talk about it. Okay? And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and there was given to him the key of the bottomless abyss. Now here comes all of the demonic, satanic powers out of the abyss to war with men against God and the angels. So this is the real most fantastic struggle that has been. And he opened a bottomless abyss, and there went up a smoke from the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit. Locusts came unto the earth from the smoke, and power was given them as scorpions of the earth to have power. And it was said to them that they should not damage the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only the men who did not have the seal of God in their foreheads, because the 144,000, great innumerable multitude, are protected from these things, just like the children of Israel in Egypt. When it came to a certain point, God protected them from the plagues. Now it was given to them, verse 5, that they should not kill them, but they should torment them 5 months. And the torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. I don't know what that is like. I have never been stung by a scorpion. I don't desire to. But it's going to be so bad. And in those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. Yes, be tormented 5 months. So we have 5 months. Okay? September, October, November, December, January, February. Okay? September, October, November, December, January, through the end of January. Okay? February, things start clearing up. And then what happens in February? War. Could it be that the armies of the 200 million have been moving this way and reached a certain point, and then they were stopped in their tracks for 5 months because of this super secret weapon that they used against him? Now remember the king of the north from Daniel 11, we won't turn there, but he heard of tidings or rumors out of the north and the east, and he went with fury to make war and make haste to take care of the problem. So that is the fifth seal. And so here are the kind of weapons that they have. Now, let's also understand something. They're working right now as feverishly as possible to make robot soldiers. And did you know that the human cell is very much like a, what do they call that? A circuit, no, not a circuit breaker.
Circuit board.
No, not a circuit board. The cell, it has, it, transistor.
Oh, like, yeah.
Transistor.
Yeah, transistor.
Like a transistor. Mm-hmm. And they can actually, with electricity, make it function very much like a human being. Now, will they have men plus these? I don't know, but let's look at what they are described as, see. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for war. So this then is satanic assistance. And on their head were crowns like those of gold. And their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair. And their teeth were like those of a lion. That is, whatever the machine looked like. Okay? And they had breastplates of like iron breastplates. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots drawn by many horses running to war. And so you can just picture and hear all of this, you see. And I've often wondered when John saw this, I wonder, what did he think about this, see? You know, when they had war, they had spears, they had swords, they had bludgeons, they had all of those things. And really, when you get into battle, stab you in the gut, you're dead. You're dead. Bash your head in with a bludgeon, you're dead. So you read in the Bible that they killed 30,000 men, 40,000 men. Yeah, that's true. you read of some of those things that I think they have on the History Channel where they reenact some of the great wars of the past, you know, the Roman legions and things like this. And boy, I think one day the Romans killed 70,000 in one day in one battle. See? So war back then was entirely different. So here are all these things that are flying, all this noise that is being made, looking at these weird-looking things, weird-looking men, okay? They had tails like scorpions and stingers, and they were given power to injure men with their tails for 5 months. And they have over them a king, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but his name, but the name he has in Greek is Apollyon, the god of war. The first woe is past. Behold, after these things, two more woes are still to come. Quite a thing. All right. Now, let's read what's going to happen here, because the retaliation after the 5 months is over, they recover. The armies are then ready to go. And the retaliation is going to be swift, brutal, bitter, just death and destruction such as never have been seen. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Not interesting. Bound in the Euphrates. They're there right now someplace. Then the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were loosed so that they might kill a third of men. Isn't that interesting? At the river Euphrates. Is it that the armies from the east make it all the way to the river Euphrates and they stop there? Then the king of the north, who is over in Palestine, launches his retaliation east and north. And so these armies are strung out. Now, Gene and I have been in the army. You know what it is with a column of troops. And if you're in the 5th platoon is like an accordion, because it never keeps the exact same pace as the 1st platoon. So first platoon stays pretty fast. The second platoon has a little accordionism, third and fourth, but the fifth one has a lot. So they go whoop, whoop. Now, right? Hard to keep up with it. Okay. But you know this. Now, I was out here at Fort Ord when it was an army base, and they garrisoned 20,000 men there, and they had hundreds of acres, and they had all the barracks and everything. They had the tanks, they had the trucks, they had the jeeps, they had everything that they needed there. Took up a lot of space. Well, how about an army of 200 million? Biggest army that has ever been. See? They can't all be in one place at one time. They have to be broken down into smaller units, don't they? So say, division. Division is generally what, 20,000, 25? I know a brigade is 15, and that's two-thirds of a division, okay? So it'd be 20,000, okay? So the armies have to be strung out. Now, let's read a little more here. That they might kill a third of men. So you see, when the tribulation began, the king of the north came down into the Holy Land area, took over Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia. Then he probably had other armies which went out to destroy America and Australia and Canada. Or they'd, at that time, after the plagues of God upon us, they wouldn't need very many soldiers to do that. But a fourth part of the earth was affected at that point. Now here we have a third of men. So there's going to be a great slaughter. Now, the number of the armies, plural, of the horsemen was 200,000 or 200 million, and I heard the number of them. Now let's stop and think for just a minute. What is it going to take to provide the weapons, the clothing, the rations, the trucks, the jeeps, the planes for an army of 200 million? Could take an awful lot, isn't it? And remember, the full extent of what went on in World War II was that the greatest number of men they had under arms in all nations was 50 million. This is four times greater. This is an awesome thing. Now, to build up something like this does not take place in a short period of time. Now, we don't know how big the army in China is, but it's a pittance compared to what it's going to be. We don't know how many are in the armed forces in the Soviet Union. India has virtually nothing. Southeast Asia, there might be something there, but not very much because, you know, Vietnamese war is over, so forth. So what are we talking about? We're talking about China. Okay. Now, India will supply some. Southeast Asia will supply some. All of those nations like Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan and the Soviet Union will provide some. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back, and then we will talk about what has to be done and how Afghanistan is the key, or what you might say, the fulcrum, like a teeter-totter, okay? And how the Chinese are going to do this.